meow.
Woof, woof.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Can't see that radio.
I just did.
Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aureus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Yeah. This is my game. Yep. I feel it. Yep.
Steve Miller feels it.
Steve Miller feels it. Yep. Yep.
And,
so
the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep. And that's a good thing to know.
And something else that's a good thing to know, Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And the same is true about his Republican replacement in 2017.
Yeah, and they stink about as much as Steve Miller's porch. I'm having a bad day, but as soon as I talk to you guys and get ready to do radio, no homo, I'm feeling great. I'm like, I had to get my cats up today for the second time. Everyone who listens to this show knows that I'm like surviving ongoing lung trauma, and it turns out for the past, I've had cats since like 1995, and I've been allergic to them the whole time, and it's been destroying me. So we had to give our cats away again today, and it was a sad, sad moment. And then some plump lady with a lot of cats came over and picked up the cat tree and took it away for her cats, and everything's gone. There's not even a, cat toy left in the house. I scrubbed it all before the wife got home from work. You know, we conspired on this. It's not like I gave her cats away. It's our cats. But took them back to the pound where we got them. Hang on. Mm-hmm. But we were going to talk about cat pee smell in Philly. Not to be crass, but as a social commentary. But go ahead, Steve.
Well, let me first ask a question. When you gave this woman this cat tree, did she smile at you with that big fat lady doughy smile that they all get?
No, it's really weird. There's something all the women that I encounter, other than my wife in Casper, Wyoming, seem like they think I'm going to rape them. I've never been anywhere that seems that much like it. Like, and I don't have a rapey vibe at all. I have like a crippled, I have a crippled vibe that looks like any woman could knock me into the dirt because I'm sick. But I think it speaks to the men of Casper, Wyoming, because they must be rapey or something. It's like every woman I've met here, like, makes it a point to tell me she's married, makes it a point, like, just has this vibe of, like, don't rape me. Like, not, I don't rape. I don't
all
know what it is.
Other
though.
Women in Casper?
Well, actually, there was an article in the paper here a while back. Here's something about government for you. There was an article in the paper here. They actually interviewed the chief of police about why it's very infrequent for rape cases to be prosecuted here. Like, the police just don't do it. They're too busy chasing people with marijuanas, or something.
They got a speeding ticket quota to get.
Yeah, but it was like national news for a minute because of the Craigslist rapist. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a guy in Casper that broke up with his girlfriend, and to punish her, he put an ad as her in Craigslist saying, I'm a 19-year-old woman. I have fantasies of being raped. And, like, over text, found some random guy and arranged to have him break into her house and rape her. And he thought that it was consensual. The guy was a lunatic for only doing that by text and never talking to her on the phone and, like, meeting her in public for coffee first. That's what I do when I set up my rape fantasies with consensual strangers. But, that was like on Oprah and everything. It was international news for a minute. And both guys went to prison for life. I think one of them's appealing it. But, yeah, man. It must be a rapey town. It's horrible.
Casper.
It really is. Casper. Yeah.
But it doesn't smell like cat urine.
No. No, there's one of the state reps here goes and hunts cats. He told me that, like, wild, like, feral cats. Yeah, that's your not really your tax dollars at work, but so tell me about, I guess I made a tacit threat that if you did something I didn't like, Steve Miller Miller, I was going to come, oh, if you cussed on my show, I was going to come and pee on your porch. And you were like, I'm in West Philly. If someone didn't pee on my porch, I'd notice it. Didn't you say something like that?
It was North Philly, but yes.
Yeah.
West Philly's more of a mold kind of smell. West Philly smells like mold.
Mold.
North Philly, definitely. Yeah. And North Philly smells like urine and crack cocaine.
Yeah.
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 That's what it smells like. However, that was not the most idle threat I received today, because a Bernie Sanders fan earlier in the day threatened to report me to the Being Liberal Facebook page for crimes against Bernie. Because I had I put out a meme that had a quote from the Unabomber Manifesto, which I attributed to Bernie Sanders, and all the Bernie fans loved it and started to share it. And then people started to realize that it was a Unabomber quote, and they went all in to stop me.
What was the quote? Instead of removing the conditions that make people depressed, modern society gives them antidepressant drugs. In effect, antidepressants are a means of modifying an individual's internal state in such a way as to eliminate him, as to enable him to tolerate social conditions that he would otherwise find intolerable.
Yep, that's the one.
I read the Unabomber Manifesto.
Good read, you'd say?
Well, first of all, one of the main criticisms of it is that it's, like, has typos. But you try typing, you know, a 60-page document on a manual typewriter in the woods in a cabin with no electricity and tell me how many typos you'd have. I mean, for what it is, and I am not praising the Unabomber. That guy was a horrible murderous goon. But it's interesting. It's very anti-technology, which the big irony is that, like, it was spread over the internet, you know, largely.
And don't forget about the technological bombs.
Well, that's, you know, Newtonian physics. That's not that big a leap in technology. They've had those since, I don't know.
Yeah, they've had them a long time.
China invented them like 2,500 years ago or something, I think. But
so
no,
is it really rambly and, you know, just going off on tangents?
Well, not really. I mean, in a way, but it's like, I mean, the guy who wrote it is a, you know, mathematics professor with a PhD. He's a smart, smart guy. It has a beginning, middle, and an end. It goes off on tangents.
When I hear manifesto, I think rambling and going off on tangents. And that's,
well, it's not called the Unabomber Manifesto. The FBI called him the Unabomber because he bombed universities, airlines, and I forget the other thing. UNA. But
networks, I believe.
Yeah, networks. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the basic premise of it is that, you know, he's a Luddite. He wanted to go back to a pre-industrial revolution society.
And that's what I don't understand. It's the whole Jodie Foster problem. Is like, how does shooting the president make Jodie Foster fall in love with you? And how, if there are letter bombs, does that make people say, you know what, this guy's probably got some great points on technology, and I want to follow him wherever the road may lead?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody would. Yeah, it's not going to win any converts, man. Killing random people does not win converts. Now, killing targeted people, no, I'm kidding. He was killing targeted people. That doesn't win converts either. But there's a great quote in it. I remember one quote really jumped out at me. He said, humans with technology are like a teenager with a barrel of wine.
Well, yeah. You know, it would be really neat to go back to those pre-industrial days. You know, back when farming was done with hand tools and people went hungry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Whenever people say, whenever like Republicans or conservatives say they want to get back to when America's good, I'm like, when was that? The days of like polio and segregation or, you know?
No, it was the early 1900s. You know, eugenics, progressivism, segregation.
We busted some trusts.
But they did dress, very fabulously, I should say.
They sure did.
Great railroads, too.
Yeah.
Without them, build the railroads.
They busted some trusts and then made some more. Ma Bell, got the ill communication. That was the government monopoly because, you know, the government at some point decided that, like, communication, telephones was too big to entrust, so they made a government-controlled monopoly, which they later busted in our lifetimes.
People freaked out when the telephone was invented. They thought it was going to replace the school.
This is probably boycotted. Yeah. I don't know.
You'll never get one in my classroom.
It's not always great radio to just refrain things that you saw on TV, but I really do like that little... it's either Family Guy or American. It's Family Guy. You know, they have the little vignettes that have nothing to do with the thing, and they're like 10 seconds long. And one is... it's supposed to be Alexander Graham Bell and Watson, his assistant, on the occasion of the invention of the new telephone. And Watson... Graham Bell is saying to Watson, I got some calls today that just had loud, angry, sexual swearing. You know anything about that? And he's like, it was probably some kids. Really? Some kids? When there's only two telephones in the world, and one's in my office and one's in your office.
So Bell and Sherlock Holmes had the same assistant?
Different Watson.
Because that would be quite a resume.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was trans-speciesism across the divide of actual and theoretical humans. That's a tough gig, and that looks great on a resume.
What if I'm transpomorphic with a telephone? What if I believe that I'm a telephone born in a human body? Where's my parade?
I don't know.
Hey, this is the age of self-responsibility. You have to create your own parade. Be self-reliant. Don't depend on others to set up your parades for you.
I think you could have the Pee-Pee Kitty Parade there in North Philly.
You could. Oh, the Stray Cats. There's a lot of them. If you want me to send you one, I can.
No, send you a couple. I don't.
I can send a couple for the old lady that now has an envious new scratching post.
She's not old.
She's a youngin'.
All cat ladies are curvy, but they're not all old.
And so she got a jump start on the cat lady career.
Well, she works at the city shelter. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I gave the cats away, and then I just kind of yelled to the whole room, "Who wants a cat tree?" And like, she was the first of four people to say, "I do." How much? And I said, "Free." And she said, "I'll be there at 7:30."
There you go.
Yep.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
This is Mr. Michael Dean of Freedom Fiends, the co-founder with Mr. Moon Vidati of Freedom Fiends, and has grown into a glorious capitalist collective, if there's such a thing. It's really not. It's me and 20 other people, including Lou Sander Fien. But today is our 800th episode of the show. We started in 2011 on April Fool's Day, 2011, as a podcast only. And after 2 years, we got syndicated on Genesis Communications Network, fine radio firm there in Minnesota. And Lou's actually going to talk about it. He took a Hajj to GCN. He's the only Freedom Fiends co-host that's ever actually been to the sacred portal that is the GCN network building in Burnington, in Bernieville. Let's just call it Bernieville. Bernie Sandersville. No, I'm kidding. Minnesota is pretty leftist, though, isn't it? You guys ever been there?
Yes.
But it is
our 800th episode. Yeah.
I just want to say we made it to 800. If we make it to 1,000, if I don't die before we if I die after we make it to 1,000, I'll have lived a perfect life. So I only got 200 more to go. So tell me about going to GCN, Lou. How'd you end up there?
Well, I was in Minnesota for AgoraFest, which was...
AgoraFest.
Yeah, it was a great little festival. It focuses on people who have agoraphobia, and I was surprised that people actually showed up.
No, agora means also means the market. Well, actually, agoraphobia, the fear of open places, is from the same root. It means the fear of the marketplace, the fear of where there are lots of people. I used to live in, my wife and I lived in Agora Hills, California, which is a, it's spelled differently and has nothing, it's like from an Indian word or something. But yeah, so you went to Agora Fest.
Yeah, and you were kind enough to arrange a tour for me, and our, I guess our board op Kyle set it up, and so I went there. I met Ben and two other fellows. I can't remember their names off the top of my head. I think one of them was John, and I can't remember the other one. But anyway, so yeah, it was exactly as I expected it to be. I drove into the secluded area and went down this long winding road, and I was a little bit nervous at first, but once I got past the machine gun turrets and the SAM sites, everything was cool, and they were,
it's like visiting the White House. Snipers on the roof.
Yeah, there were radar dishes everywhere, big giant antenna farm. And so I went in, retina scan, security, and I don't know.
You're kidding about most of this, but there really are an antenna farm, a bunch of big, like, you know, these 7-foot satellite dishes that send our sound up into the heavens and Alpha Centauri and beyond.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But then I got on the elevator, you know, after the retina scan and everything, and I traveled 60 stories below the surface into a bunker carved in granite.
And I have a friend that used to deliver pizzas in Alameda, California, and he would often deliver to the naval base there. And he said he would go often to deliver pizzas into buildings that were like 3-story buildings that had elevators that went down like 25 or 30 stories under the bay. Okay, so go on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the reality is, it wasn't out in the middle of nowhere. GCN is actually in a city just outside of St. Paul.
Used to be a bank, didn't it? The building?
I don't remember what it used to be. One of them was explaining to me that I think it may have been a couple of houses that were not connected, but then they were connected to each other. But no satellite dishes, no antennas or anything like that. It's kind of a plain looking building. I wish you knew what you were looking for, you wouldn't know it was there.
It's all done over the internet now.
Yeah. But there were servers all over the place and just wires everywhere. I was expecting C-3PO or R2-D2 to come out saying we can't get these repairs done. and what was really neat was one of them had the GCN studio dog, and he was off leash. Just running around having a good old time. Oh yeah, he was an adorable little guy.
You know, I'm not allergic to dogs. I may end up getting one, but dogs are a lot more work than cats, man. But I guess they're more rewarding in a way, aren't they?
Yeah, they're fun animals. And I love cats, but I also love dogs.
Steve, do you have pets?
I used to have a free range dog, and then he free range died. No. It was similar to the dog at GCN Studios, where he just ran around, and then he was pretty old though. No one was really sure how old he was when we got him. I wanted to cut off one of his legs and count the rings and figure out how old he was that way. They told me that wouldn't work with dogs.
Nope. It doesn't. Lou, back to the GCNs.
Yeah, so anyway, there's a bunch of stations down there. It is in a basement, but it's only like, you know, one set of stairs down. And They have these big giant mixing boards. I mean, it makes your mixing board look like my cell phone.
Yeah, and mine's 12 channels.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, excellent. I could preempt a show and jump on, but
you can do that anyway. You can preempt any themes, brother. Space.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Now,
shooting cats. That's your tax eaters at work. Hey, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Steve Miller Miller. What's going on, Steve?
Oh, keeping it real, Lou. How are you?
Oh, I'm just groovy. The world is my oyster. So, anyway, yeah, last segment I was talking about the trip to GCN. It was really nice because the guys there were really friendly and everything, and they gave me the little tour. I got to see the Fiend phone server. I was expecting to be on like some pedestal and have like spotlights shining down on it and everything, and maybe some people praying towards it every once in a while. But
people could come up and leave fruit, like the statues of Buddha at Chinese restaurants, where there's always like that one solitary orange in front of the Buddha statue.
Yeah, something like that.
You could do that. Be there, you know.
But I would like to talk about Agora Fest. It was a really neat little festival, and it focuses around agorism, which is the market, or more commonly referred to as, I guess, maybe the alternative market, when you look at the current state of things with corporatism and everything being state-controlled and everything. So, yeah, pretty good time. I wish there would have been a lot more agorism there. There were some people that were selling some T-shirts, books, stuff like that. And, of course, there were food vendors. That's always cool. But, have you been to any of these different types of Liberty Festivals, like Pork Fest, or maybe some of the smaller ones?
Where I work, we had a cryptocurrency festival where they were projected to have a bunch of vendors, and the only people that wound up both showing up and accepting actual Bitcoin, because there were people that were selling things for, you know, regular cash. But the only people that wound up selling things for actual Bitcoins were people selling Bitcoin T-shirts, which is fine. You know, there's a demand for that, but they were expecting a little more. And then there was a smaller regional, like, Liberty gathering where I performed selections from my musical about Adam Kokesh. But we shredded. People were laughing, like, did it, because I don't know. There's a, you know, little bit of inside. It's a little bit like when as a comedian, you're playing a plumber's convention, you know, and you can throw in a couple jokes about P traps or S traps. You know, that shreds at a plumber convention because you took a little time, you know, you know their inside baseball, and such wasn't with Federal Detention the Musical.
Okay. Well, this festival is pretty neat because I used Bitcoin to purchase my ticket, and it was only $85 for the weekend, which is pretty neat. It was held at I believe it's a Catholic retreat center, just, I don't know, about an hour and a half south of, St. Paul. Yeah. So, real nice place. Most of us were set up in the camping area, and there were a couple of cabins off to the side that people could go shower and do their business in. So it wasn't like being out in the middle of nowhere with porta-johns.
Yeah, you weren't roughing it.
Yeah, not too rough. But they had a bunch of little presentations and activities going on. One of the few things that I actually did check out was launching rockets, and they had some little quadricopters there. So some of the younger folks were setting up these model rockets, and some of them were getting up there probably about 1,000 feet. So are you familiar with those rockets?
Not only am I familiar with them, but I remember when I was a kid that they came out with the first model rockets that had cameras attached, and you could take... this is a while ago. You could take the camera into Walmart or whatever and, like, get it developed, and you would have an honest-to-God picture. And I was thinking the other day, I'm like, wow, if you could have gone back and shown, like, 10-year-old me and my friends, like, a modern drone, how amazing would that have looked in comparison to this one rocket, which, coincidentally, I found for $9 on eBay if you want to get this exact rocket, which I think was $100 when I was a kid. Now $9 and available on eBay, the Estes bottle rocket. With the camera on it.
Nice.
Yep.
I remember setting some of those things off in school back in late 70s, early 80s, and you got this, I don't know, maybe it's made out of a cardboard or plastic or something like that. I don't really remember. I'm not sure what they're made out of now.
The inner tube's cardboard, generally.
Okay. Yeah, and then they got these different little engines that you could put in there, and I'm not sure how they're lighting them off now. I think they were lit off with a wick and matches way back when. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was pretty neat. And then got a chance to play with the quadricopter a little bit. The battery wasn't super well charged up, so I didn't get a chance to really go wild with it. There's one guy that was flying around for quite a while, and then he ditched it. I'm not even sure if they got it back, but but it's still pretty neat. I'm no longer afraid of drones after seeing the quadricopter up close.
I ain't afraid of no drones.
So, but
I'm still afraid of drones. I've not had an experience that has desensitized me to drones. If I were to see a drone, I don't know what I'd do. It's Philly. I would probably try to fight it, but I don't know.
Well, these were privately owned drones. These weren't the government drones, so they're cool.
They were fun drones. The hip, cool ones.
Yeah, they were friendly drones.
So how long did this conference go on? Not a conference. I mean, it's not academic, but
it started on Thursday and it ended Sunday around about noonish, something like that.
And it was $85 for the entire weekend. That's a really good price.
Yeah, it is. It is. And was it Sunday morning? We had brunch up at the retreat center, and the retreat center looks like a castle. The nickname for it is Hogwarts.
That's funny.
Yeah, and it looks like a Hogwarts-type castle. And it's really, really neat. But I didn't know anybody there. I was only Facebook friends with, like, maybe one or two people. And that was, like, right before the event, we wound up being Facebook friends. So I was actually kind of shocked to find out that they were there. But it was pretty neat. It wasn't like what I'm used to, because out here in Michigan we have the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which is, that's a blast too. But it was, how could I put it? It was a lot smaller than I expected. It was very well promoted. I was surprised that there weren't more people there, but there were maybe 100 people showed up, something like that, over the course.
That's not bad.
No, it's not. It's not.
That's a normal retreat center crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it really doesn't matter how many people you have there. It just matters how cool they are and what's going on. And it was a pretty good crowd out there. So, but what was I gonna say? They did have some musical performances. Jordan Page was playing. He played Friday and Saturday night, and I really enjoyed that. He's a pretty good musician. I'd never seen him live before. Didn't really know a whole lot about him. Seen him on the internet a touch, but. Real nice guy. He came over to the Assault Kitchen Friday night after his performance. I fed him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it's basically what I do. I'm don't let the long hair and beard fool you. I'm like an Italian grandmother feeding people all the time.
We had a rapper perform because it was, of course, Philly at the cryptocurrency conference. And then he came to the kitchen back where I work, and I was cooking for him because I cook as well. And we got into an argument about whether HIV causes AIDS because he is one of these like heavy conspiracy dudes and didn't believe that HIV led to AIDS. And yeah, it was a little rough listening to him after that. But you know what are you gonna? And it's very rare that I'm the most conservative person in the room. But when you come at me, with HIV doesn't cause AIDS, I'm gonna side with the medics on that one. Sorry.
Pretty much, yeah. But anyway, so it was a really neat time. There weren't very many dogs here, though. There's only like one dog, and he was rather accepting of the leash. I was a little disappointed about that.
Yeah, that's not in the Agora Fest spirit.
Right, right. I mean, but I don't know. I guess with the number of people there, they're accepting of the leash. Go ahead.
Well, if everything had a BIPCOT no gov license on it, then you had the fangs on every single product there. So you'd be set.
Yeah. Well, the Assault Kitchen did have the BIPCOT no government license, but I forgot to bring my extra licenses to issue to people.
They could have had the BIPCOT driver's license for the way home. Oh, man. I showed BIPCOT to my neighbor who, born and raised in Philadelphia, maybe a 10th grade education. And he's like, hold on, if I show this to a cop when they pull me over, are they going to be like, okay, go ahead? And I'm going to be like, well, basically it says they can't reuse the license. And he didn't find that to be very compelling.
So he's wondering if they're going to take his license and then use it for themselves, or if they're going to let him go or what?
If they're gonna, he thought that it was basically a get out of trouble with the cops license, that something better than a state license had been invited because it holds more power. So basically, if you've got a BIPCOT, does it trump a regular license? Like, if your regular license has been suspended, can you run out, print yourself a BIPCOT license, and then get on the roads? And if they pull you over, be like, ta ta ta, tut tut, I've got a BIPCOT license, and then they go zoinks or whatever, and they go back to their car, sadly, knowing they've been defeated by the BIPCOT. I told them that was unlikely but possible. Can't rule it out.
Well, I don't even know what to say about that.
I don't think anybody's actually produced a BIPCOT license, a driving license, to a cop when been pulled over, though. I would love to see it if it happened, though, because I would assume the person would be filming, right? Like, if you're the kind of person who's showing a BIPCOT to a cop, you're also going to be the kind of person that's filming every single interaction with a cop, I would assume.
Probably. There's a picture that I made for Michael on the BIPCOT driver's license. Maybe I'll email it to you when I get a chance.
I saw Derek's. Derek's is funny.
Which one's Derek's?
Derek Fiendman. It's on the BIPCOT website if you go there.
Okay. I don't know that the meme that I created wound up on the BIPCOT website. It was, shall I say, controversial.
Oh, getting edgy with your BIPCOT memes.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, yes. All right, yeah. Send it to me. I'll take a look. I don't care. I enjoy edgy memes. The Bernie Sanders supporters learned that the hard way this week.
Let's hear about you burning the fields.
Burning the fields. Feeling the burn and burning the fields. So, as I mentioned earlier, I make this meme. It's got a fake Bernie Sanders quote on it. It's actually from the Unabomber Manifesto. And another comedian had tipped me off to this. He was like, hey, here's a quote from the Unabomber Manifesto. You know, see if you can achieve it.
We'll come back from this trip to the market.
Surely.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPAR 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends. If you're triggered after that, can't say we didn't warn you. Am I right, Lou?
You're right, and you're a little bit premature on that second hour intro.
Zing. Snap. It's 1:52. Time flies, doesn't it? Or fails to fly, as the case may be. and you're in Michigan. I can't even blame a change of time zone on that one.
I'm in Central Time Zone.
Oh, you are. There's parts of Michigan in the Central Time Zone.
Yes, there is. As a matter of fact, in the Upper Peninsula, there's, I don't know, it's like two, three, maybe four counties that are on Central Time. Interestingly enough, if I go 100 miles northwest of where I currently am, I'm in Eastern Time Zone.
Northwest. Interesting.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and the time zone line, it doesn't go straight up and down like you would expect it to.
Right. It's,
like I said, a few counties in the southwestern part of the Upper Peninsula are on Central Time Zone, and then everything else is Eastern. So literally, if I go over to the Wisconsin border up by Lake Superior, you know, like in the most northwest part of it, that's just Eastern Time Zone.
Steve, what the heck are you doing? It sounds like you're shoveling snow in your room.
Yes, that is exactly what happened. So we don't have rooms here.
Like you're on radio, son.
Okay, let's go to an ad.
It doesn't work that way. It used to. Back in the day, I remember, you know, I watched this show, Frasier. And people think Frasier's a dumb show, but, you know, there aren't many shows where the hero is a talk show host. So I relate. And in that show, he's not dealing with automation like a clock like we are. You know, he'll be like, well, let's go to an ad now. Or, well, let's not go to an ad yet. Let's keep this caller on. And apparently that's how radio used to work. But here's the problem with the Unabomber.
Yeah.
He wasn't killing, like, his targets. He was killing their secretaries because, right. You know, like,
mailroom people. Men.
Yeah. You know, they don't open their stuff. That's the problem with most killing, like most gun killing. It's crazy people just want to kill. They don't kill the right people. And I'm not saying there are right people. I'm not implying that. But there's a really good novel people should check out. It's called Mulan Labe. And there's someone in that book that's killing, like, the worst of the worst of, like, the government, you know, like the judges that send people to life in prison when they're, because they're using medical marijuana because they have cancer, and then, like, you know, send them to prison to die of cancer because they can't get pot, and then, like, send their widower husband to prison for pot because he was growing it for his wife, you know, that kind of people. And the thing is, the guy
who says you can't get pot in prison.
Well, this is written 18 years ago. And the thing is, like, he's not, the guy who's killing these people isn't, like, walking up to judges in courtrooms and shooting them. He's waiting until they're retired. You know, like, you cannot escape the wrath. You know, and I'm not down with that, but it's interesting. It's good fiction. It's Mulan Labe by Boston Tea Party. We've interviewed him a few times on the show. So
the dude's name is Boston Middle. The dude's name is Boston
Initial
T
Party.
Last name Party.
He's been using that name for, like, way before there was a thing called the Tea Party in America. You know,
yeah,
like 20 years.
So the protagonist, I take it, is using punishment instead of prevention.
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay. Way after the fact, like after the people aren't even committing the fact anymore, just the fact that they did it. But the point is, he can get to them, you know, because they're, like, they're retired. They're not.
And he's sure he's getting to them, unlike the Unabomber. That's the thing. Yeah.
Oh, he's
Unabomber left them lots of chance.
He's walking up to them and shooting them, like, in their garden when no one's around, you know.
Well, the Unabomber should be smart enough to realize that he's hitting secretaries and not the actual intended targets. Must not be a genius after all.
Yeah, although I gotta say, the FBI loves to brag about their wins, and that's one of them they like to brag about the most, but they didn't win. His brother turned him in. His brother read his manifesto and was like, I recognize phrases from this from my brother, from my crazy brother.
Yeah, how many years does it have to be before it's not a victory anymore?
Yeah, we don't condone violence, we don't recommend it, it's just interesting, that's all I'll say.
Freedom Fiends, second hour, coming up after this trip to the market.
Got to talk about Michael Graves. Williams! Yep.
Williams!
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
This is the Freedom Fiends, secreting seditious sounds from the flaccid fiend bone of liberty. We give you a crypto chiropractic crack to strengthen your spine against the roving wiretaps of tyranny. Content warning, This is the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. So we want to talk about comedians that are no longer funny because they've become social justice warriors.
That's part of the reason. So
that's part of it. But Kim, before we go further, somebody give me a definition of social justice warrior for someone who's never heard that term.
That is somebody who gets offended on behalf of others, primarily using the internet as their main means.
Trigger warning. Yeah. People yep. require a trigger warning.
Yep. See also cultural Marxism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, when I think cultural Marxism, I think of people asking me for a cigarette. Like, I think the defining trait of a cultural Marxist is, hey, man, you got an extra cigarette.
You know what I used to do when I smoked was, because I was in San Francisco from 86 to 90 to 2001 and smoked the whole time I was there. And I mean, I got asked for a cigarette 4 or 5 times a day, every day I was there. So what I started doing was someone say, hey, man, I got a cigarette. I'd say, if you tell me a joke, I mean, that's a fair trade, you know, and this is back when cigarettes were a lot cheaper than they are now, like a Lucy for a joke. That's a good trade. Some people would get really offended. Like, they didn't want to work. They didn't even want to work that little for their free cigarette. That's cultural Marxism.
Yeah.
And a lack of a sense of humor, you know?
Because you agreed say, in principle to give it to it them, and yet you're requiring something.
It didn't even have to be a good joke, man. It didn't even have to be funny. Just try, you know? All right.
Hey, to go on a Gorefest tangent, there was a young lady that came up there from Houston, Texas. She was one of the musicians, and she was playing a ukulele and singing songs. Pretty good, too. Anyway, she went to go purchase a bottle of water or something like that, and she sang for a bottle of water. That was a fair trade.
Yeah, sing for your supper, man. It goes back to the, you know, if you really want to go medieval on somebody, you can sing for your supper.
Sing for your supper and complain bitterly about politics for your stand-up comedy gigs. That's apparently
well, Patton Oswalt. We were talking about Patton Oswalt, who I love Patton Oswalt, but he really isn't that funny anymore because he tries to have opinions on things. A lot of times entertainers try to have opinion on things. Now, there are people who entertain with their opinions, like the Freedom Fiends, but we're smart. I really think that the squarest thing any entertainer, especially a rock musician, can ever do is back any government, any politician. I don't care how hip the politician you're backing is. As soon as you say, you know, yeah, we need to get Obama, we need to get him, you've become my great grandfather, you know, you're that square.
48 hours ago, I would have agreed with you, but then within the past 48 hours, we have candidates that drink goat's blood. And if I ran if there were a metal band that endorsed a candidate based solely on his goat blood drinking, yeah, that's brutal. Extremely brutal.
But those aren't real candidates. I'm talking about real candidates.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Who would do that? That'd be lame.
Bono Vox from U2 or Bono. All of them. You remember that there was a, when Obama, there's a video. I think Patton Oswalt's in it too for Obama when he was running.
Oh yeah, squares. Definitely. It was a creed written into the founding documents. Yes, we can.
So you got reported.
Go back and watch that now.
You got reported as Snopes today. Yes, we can.
Yes,
it's just a takeoff. That's just a takeoff on Sammy Davis Jr.'s autobiography. Yes, I can. That's where that came from. And Sammy Davis Jr., he was one of the first like mainstream hip happening black entertainers in America. I mean, he was like hanging out with gangsters like you know, what's the guy, you know,
Sinatra,
you know, Frank Sinatra, yeah. And Dean Martin was a gangster, man. But he was a Republican. Sammy Davis Jr. is a Republican, so that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah You don't see that sort of thing today. Gotta be a brain surgeon.
He was a black Jewish Republican
with one eye.
That's a intersecting like X and Y and Z tangent. It's like you could fit all of them in America in my bedroom, I think.
Probably.
And then film it. And it'd be funnier than anything Patton Oswalt's done since he started saying gun owners should be shot.
Part of the problem with these comedians,
speak up, son, like you're on radio.
Sure. Is that they get famous and then the crowds that they perform in front of laugh at anything. So it's very difficult to learn what's legitimately funny.
Or hang on anything. I blame Twitter. You know, when these people have 600,000 Twitter followers, which they deserve from their humor, but then they're also tweeting, like, socio-political stuff. And my phrase for people like that is people who are experts in things that are wrong. You know, like, people who are really good at one thing, it makes them think they know how to run the world and run my world.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Yeah, definitely.
This is going to sound kind of square, but it's going to come back around and be cool. John McCain did something that I really thought was awesome. He was on Saturday Night Live a number of years ago, and because Barbra Streisand is always telling him how to do his job, he decided to tell her how to do her job, so he started singing, and it was horrible.
Wow.
Nice.
I think the last entertainer that actually had a valid political opinion that I wanted to listen to was Muhammad Ali, who said he didn't want to go fight in Vietnam because no N-word had ever shot at him, and he didn't want to go fight the white man's war. And I agreed, man. I can't believe how statist people were in Vietnam about people that didn't want to be drafted. Like, I don't want to be a slave and get shot at, and people think it's something's wrong with that.
The worst thing in the world.
They hate slavery, but they love involuntary servitude.
Well, you were in the Army, Lou. You volunteered, and you were a cook, and I want to thank you for your food service.
Well, you're Steve? Very welcome.
Were you in the Army?
I was never, no. I thought that I was...
conscientious objector?
Yeah, I thought that I was... Me too. I thought that it was really cool and really countercultural of me to not register for the draft, though, that I didn't.
I registered for the draft, but I also, in a way, registered as a conscientious objector. When I was in boarding school in 19, let's see, I was born in 64, so in 74 or 5, 79, when I was 15, I went to the priest at my school and talked to him about it and said, I really, you know, have a moral, I don't want to shoot people and kill them. And he had me write a letter and kept it on file. So if I ever got drafted, he could produce that letter and say he had discussed it with me. And it wasn't just a, you know, oh, suddenly, you know, kind of thing. And I actually Googled that guy recently, and there was a picture of him with his arm around Barack Obama. It's like, what is the thing with the social justice and the, why do people think that God wants you to use the government to redistribute the wealth for the poor? That's not charity, you know?
When the shooting happened in Oregon, every feed that I have on social media was every open mic comedian that I'd ever met offering his thoughts on how awful guns were and about how they wouldn't want a gun pulled on them at a comedy club, and they say things that often make people angry and don't want to get shot, therefore no one should have a gun. As if
how would they feel about
bad logic.
How would they feel about having a drone pointed at them?
Yeah, that's Barack Obama's humor. He made jokes about droning young men who'd want to date his daughter. Remember that?
Definitely remember that. And if Bush if Bush had made that joke.
I think we can all agree that we need good common sense drone control.
Yeah, I think we need good common sense stand-up comedian control. Where do I sign up to institute that?
Yeah, well, see, but here's the problem. Then you run into the putting people in camps problem again, because I don't see any way to have common sense stand-up comedy control that doesn't involve taking 25 to 50% of the people I know and putting them in an internment camp until they get funny.
Oh, well, you're talking about, you know, we often cry on the Freedom Fiends for libertarian re-education camps, but no, here's what you do is you just make the camps, you disguise them as a really hip nonstop comedy club.
Yeah. Be like, oh man, that mic is hot. You get up there, you can read a phone book.
Steve, what are you talking about? It's a problem to put unfunny comedians in camps. I don't understand what you're saying here.
I wish Jim Jesus were here to do his Trump imitation. Trump would probably like to put unfunny people he doesn't think are funny in camps.
Trump would like to put a lot of people in camps.
Trump's scary, man. I think Trump. I know we're speaking to a lot of New Yorkers here on our new station who probably really like Trump a lot, but I think people like him because he's not like all other politicians, and he's more like, let me tell you what I think. You know, like he doesn't hide what he thinks. He doesn't have the BS filter that most people have when they're trying to, like, seduce people with their ideas. And it's gotten to the point, someone was talking about this the other day, it's gotten to the point where, like, the two contenders, which really do seem to be, like, Trump and Bernie Sanders, it's like, you know, one guy is saying, yeah, let's deport 10% of the country or put them in camps. And the other guy is saying, I'm for straight up socialism that borders on communism. And I want to regulate everything to death and give everyone free stuff. Like, politicians from the right and the left have kind of hinted at those things over the years, but it's just gotten to the point where they can just come out and say them and be the front runner.
And the appeal of Trump is he says what's on his mind, but so does my drunk uncle. As a matter of fact, they say a lot of the same things.
Well, I think that a lot of people like their drunk uncle a lot more than they like politicians they see on TV.
My drunk uncle, 2016.
There you go. I mean, I remember
vote harder.
My dad saying, you know, like this is not something he made up, but it's something he used to like to say and think he was really clever because he said it. He said, too bad everyone that really knows how to run the country is busy cutting hair and driving taxis. But, you know, that's what's next. It's just the haircutting taxi driver after the drunk uncle fails.
Well, Bernie Sanders tried to be a carpenter and failed. They like went and tracked down the people.
Jesus Christ.
That used to work at his carpentry shop and were like trying to teach him carpentry. They're like, here's a practical skill you can use in the world that is not like going and screaming in people's face about how the rich are screwing everyone over. And he was like, he couldn't do it.
So as far as failures, I want to talk about really briefly before we go to the market about Michael Graves, the singer from The Misfits after Danzig left them, and they were still calling him The Misfits, unsuccessfully tried on Kickstarter to raise money to buy time on the same station we're on in New York City. We're on it for free. He tried to pay to get on it, couldn't. And those of you who don't know who The Misfits are, this means we're really cool. It's kind of the punk rock equivalent of like, well, substitute Van Halen with Sammy Hagar for Danzig lists Misfits. And he was on the Colbert Report. Did you guys ever see that? He was in like full skull face paint and they were interviewing him as being like the Republican punk rocker.
No, did I haven't. See that?
No.
Oh man, it's sad.
Yeah, that sounds downright horrid though.
My opinion of Colbert and his brand of comedy is he would be in one of Steve's concentration camps.
Yeah. But Jon Stewart would not. Maybe he would.
Yes, he absolutely would. And he would sometimes be holding a smug march.
Yeah. And we want to make it clear that you don't just want to put Jewish comedians in camps. They're
Colbert's Catholic.
Colbert's hella Catholic. Yep.
Yeah, super Catholic.
Freedom yep. Fiends with yep. Michael Dean and his weird friends. Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou. I'm joined by Steve Miller Miller, and MWD is skulking around somewhere.
Skulking about the planet.
Yes, yes. His Uncle Fester Little self. But anyway, so yeah. Unfunny comedians. Round them up.
Unfunny comedians. So the climax of this week happened with this Bernie meme, as mentioned earlier. So
Burn the fields.
Uniburner. So I put this quote from the Unabomber. I throw Bernie Sanders' name on it. I throw it on the internet, and I'm thinking this is going to be a normal Steve Miller Miller trolling operation where maybe a few dozen people laugh at it. You know, it gets shared a little bit, whatever. So I decided, in order to bait people a little bit, I'm going to put this thing that makes it sound like I'm a potential Bernie convert, because I've been to seminary. I used to be a clergyman. I know religious eyes when I see them. And every Bernie Sanders supporters has that look in their eye. Like they are out for potential converts, knocking at your door, trying to get them. So the caption I put on the picture is, you know, I don't agree with much of what Bernie says, but he's dead on this point. Well, wherein he quoted the Unabomber. Please like and share. And, you know, I put this up. I get a whole bunch of likes, mostly from like liberal comedians that are like, oh man, what an inspiration Bernie Sanders is, blah, 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 blah. Then I wake up this morning and someone's like, yo, do you know your picture has 2,200 shares? And I go and I open it up and I'll be darned if, sure enough, that by now, at this point, we've got, yeah, it looks like we're over 4,000 shares of the Bernie Sanders, quoting the Unabomber. And this result, so people eventually found out that this is a Unabomber quote, because people check things on the internet now. And the Bernie Sanders people find out that it's a Unabomber quote, and they get so mad, so incredibly mad. And I spent the last 2 days sorting through my hate mail for these people, and they made the most impotent threats that you could ever imagine. My favorite two being they were going to report me to Snopes, which, go right ahead. I would love it if they made a Snopes article where they like specifically had to refute a meme I made in 45 seconds. Like, they had to, you know, they clarify 9/11. They clarify like all these chain letters that like go around the globe. And yeah, if a meme that I spent 2 minutes making went on Snopes, that would be great.
You know, talk about burning resources.
Right? And then the other one that they threatened, and I thought this was an extremely interesting threat, was they threatened to report me to the Being Liberal Facebook page as if they're like the arbitrator.
Aren't you already banned from them like everybody else?
Yes, I've been banned from them for years, which is why I don't understand. I like, wouldn't unblocking me have to necessarily be the first step? Like, we're gonna unblock you so that we can impartially try you.
I've got one that you can use for your next trolling operation. Here we go. The greatness of every mighty organization embodying an idea in this world lies in the religious fanaticism and intolerance with which, fanatically convinced of its own right, it intolerantly implies. That's Adolf Hitler from Mein Kampf.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So go ahead, put that one up.
Put that one up. Who could you say said that though? Trump? Because that was the thing is Bernie. Nobody would believe Bernie said that, because that was the thing about this one particular Unabomber quote. Instead of removing the conditions that make people depressed, modern society gives them antidepressant drugs. In effect, antidepressants are a means of modifying an individual's internal state in such a way as to enable them to tolerate social conditions that he would otherwise find intolerable. That is textbook something Bernie Sanders would say. You know why?
No, it isn't. No.
Yep.
Bernie would say, shut up and take your Soma. Hey, give me 90%.
Nope. Bernie would absolutely say, listen, if you feel bad about something in the world, then you need to go and change the entire world as a result of that. And I've got just the plan, and I'm going to make it all free.
No, Bernie would say, you need to vote for me to change the world. I'm going to charge you 90% for it.
See, you're memeing hard, Bernie, and I'm memeing soft, Bernie. And people aren't... People aren't attracted to hard Bernie. People are attracted to the Bernie that's going to give them free college, not the Bernie that's going to scream at them for making too much money.
After he gets the 90%, it'll be free.
Well, yeah, but it might not actually be free. But you know what?
Of course, it won't be free.
Well, yeah, it won't be free. But, and neither will anyone, but that's fine. There'll be plenty of comedians on his side, at least.
Well, the Freedom Fiends will be free right after this trip to the market. Worms!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN. LRN.FM.
So Steve has a backlog on him from the Liberals.
Yeah.
For denigrating
crimes against Bernie. Yeah, crimes against Bernie.
At least that liberal website, Democratic Underground, when they didn't like my band Right Arm of Wyoming and said that we were seditious and it was terrorism rock because it wasn't happy with the government, at least they turned us into Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah,
which
they didn't turn you into the Being Liberal Facebook page.
Yeah, DHS can ruin your life and send over men with guns, and what will the Being Liberal do? Send over three stinky dudes with goat cheese dreadlocks?
They're going to send over three white dudes with dreadlocks that used to have a job standing behind Obama and nodding really vigorously every time he gave a speech. Do you remember this?
Don't forget they can unblock you on Facebook and then reblock you.
Oh, man, then I'll feel doubly blocked. Ooh.
Well, Obama also had the young ladies that looked like they were climaxing while hearing Obama speak.
Yeah, definitely.
You seen that meme?
In the throes of passion, listening to Obama talk about how he's going to protect farmers' subsidies.
Yeah. Statism. It's a hell of a drug.
It is.
I didn't believe it until I saw these threats from the Bernie fans. You know?
Have you guys seen the picture of Trump at a speech, and this woman is holding her baby in front of him, and she just looks like she's crazy. She looks like one of those Obama supporters. Please, Mr. Trump, eat my baby.
Throw mine into the volcano from the top of the Trump Tower.
If Trump were a smart politician, he would give it back and say, "You bring me back something with goat's blood."
Yeah. So who was the comedian in the 60s that just wasn't funny after a while, that all the comedians now like?
George Carlin?
No, he was always funny.
He wasn't. His last few years.
Are you talking about Dick Gregory? Dick Gregory.
No.
You might be talking about Dick Gregory.
No, the guy that was like arrested for speed and indecent speech.
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce.
Yeah.
We were talking about him before.
Yeah, Lenny Bruce started out funny and then, we talked about him in the break. I don't think we talked about him in the show. I can't even tell. We're so busy doing talking, we can't do talk radio shows sometimes. But here, okay, I've got a Is It Real or Is It the Onion? I've been watching a show tonight on National Geographic Channel, Nat Geo. They've got this series that's like Drugs, Inc., which I watch all the time and root for the bad guys.
Yeah.
Or the drug guys. They're not really bad, but some of them are bad because, that's what Underworld brings. And then they've got this new one. It's a spinoff called Underworld, Inc., which is like, it's drug stuff, but it's also like money laundering and other stuff. And Is It Real or Is It the Onion? I've been watching an episode tonight about the free market of the organ trade in third world countries.
Rothbard.
It's real.
Yeah. No. Did you say it's Rothbard in action?
Is it real or is it Rothbard?
Yeah. There you go. It's, man, it's so sad. I mean, it's like, people from Nepal that are displaced from an earthquake that go to India to try to get work and end up like selling a kidney for $4,000. So they can support their family for a while.
So what's the, just curiosity, asking for a friend, what's the buying price on the $4,000 kidney? Like, what is the middleman taking home?
Depends what country it ends up in. Middlemen are taking a lot, and the middlemen are like scary gangsters. But, when it ends up in an American...
They cut organs out of people for a living. What do you expect?
Yeah. Well, probably $100,000 with the whole surgery for the American that goes over and has it done, that week instead of waiting a year.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Because of red tape over here.
Yeah, because it's government. Yeah.
Well, why don't you just like go over to the other side of Casper, ask Dick Cheney about his heart transplant?
Yeah, I wonder where he got his valves. He and Trump probably have a lot in common. They probably drank some goat's blood together. But I don't know, man. I'm afraid to say things about Cheney. He lives in my state, and like all my neighbors work for Halliburton, so I don't know. They don't have to send a drone.
I want to know what this anti-capitalistic market Marxist goofiness is about selling organs.
Well, it can get pretty scary. Like for one thing, China has like China kind of leads the like anybody with a bunch of money can go tomorrow to China and get any organ transplanted. And the thing is, the quote unquote donors are usually political dissidents.
Okay, so that Oregon trade is a problem, and that's because it's run by government. And if you look at maybe some of the other ones that aren't specifically run by governments, those are illicit markets.
Well, in Iran,
I assume they don't give them the brains.
No, Iran is the one country I think it's the only country where it's legal. Like there is an open market for organs there.
Okay, so why aren't we hearing about all these reports of the illicit organ trade in Iran and all the stuff that goes along with it, the drive-by shootings and everything else? Oh, wait, it's legal. Now, my problem with this is all these people say, oh, no, you can't sell organs. Well, the recipient benefits by getting the organ. The doctor benefits by getting paid by doing it. Why are they so mad at people that would actually sell an organ and having them profit by it? Maybe they're better off with one kidney and food on the table for a year than they are, you know, with two kidneys and starving to death.
Well, and if they had like eight kids, they could have food on the table for a decade.
And you got to remember that there's a lot of fat people who lose a lot of weight and have a lot of excess skin that's just sitting there. You know, burn victims could use it, you know, sell it. Might as well. If not doing anything else, they're waiting to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't see myself selling a kidney, but it should be an option that's on the table.
Yeah.
If somebody is actually in that dire financial straits and the government makes a law prohibiting them from being able to go and, like, you know, make some money.
And you know, if you're new to listening to the Freedom Fiends, like if we just suddenly appeared on your radio in New York City or something, we talk like this all the time, and we're not kidding. This is not shock radio. Like, this might be shocking to people who haven't heard it before. We're not Howard Stern. We're not like, let's see what shocking things we can say to freak people out. This is how we sit around and calmly talk, like after dinner. You know, we believe it. Why do we believe it, gentlemen?
We sit down, we have dessert, we have coffee, we sell each other a few organs, it's normal.
We sell each other the coffee, too.
I never sell organs, I only rent them.
I want to buy some, I could use some lungs. You know, what I really, the thing is, though, most people that get in accidents are drunk or probably smokers or something. What I need is, like, BYU, Brigham Young University, totally sober, totally no, like track star, 19-year-old track star, designated driver in a motorcycle. It's just horrible. I'm just going to stop.
No, keep going. Keep going. You caught my interest.
See,
I hear snoring. Do you guys hear snoring?
Yeah. I hear it too.
It's definitely me. Well, no, not me personally, but
is it in your apartment?
It's in my house. Yeah.
Kick them, man. That is bad radio. That says the listener, boring. Who is it? Is it your dog?
Yeah.
It's your dog?
Yeah.
Oh, you killed him?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. We don't kill dogs. We love animals. We love dogs and cats. It's people that we don't like very much. So some of them.
Yeah, but the difference between people and pets is you can give the pets away if you're allergic to them.
I know. You know, I got to say, of all the like things that are good radio and bad radio and the fact that the Freedom Fiends is a teaching hospital, I've never had to tell a co-host, stop snoring. It was really unnerving to me. At first, I thought I was imagining it. I thought it was my wife in the other room. And I was like, no, man, that's in my earphones. What is that? I hear someone laughing. Is she laughing? Is that your roommate?
No, that was Steve? Definitely me. That was me. That was my. That was high pitched, but that was me.
You were snoring, but you were talking at the same time.
I was talking at the same time as this snoring was happening.
Yeah, who was it?
Huh?
Who was it?
Nah, it was a friend of mine.
Yeah. Some stoned hippie.
Yeah, well, it was the liberal police. They came over to arrest me for my crimes against Bernie Sanders, and then I had to invite them in like they were Jehovah's Witnesses.
Dude, tell him next time he falls asleep on my show, I'm harvesting one of his lungs. I'm going to have you harvest it and pack it in dry ice and FedEx it to me.
It all started when I knew a dude who was on the Freedom Fiends. It ended with me in a bathtub filled with ice.
I'll feed it to a stray cat.
Man, this is like Pork Fest when people in the live studio audience are falling asleep during the show.
But they never end up on the air, though, because they're like 20 feet away.
Yeah. Hey, mics, Steve. Better mics. So this transient that's sleeping on your couch, is he as acid washed as his blue jeans? Because that's how it rolls at Porkfest.
It didn't happen. You know, when people pass out at the Freedom Fiends at Porkfest in the media room, which people do, because sometimes people go to Porkfest with no money, like, you know, young people have nothing to lose, and they'll just there's one room that's open all night there, so they'll just sleep there. And usually, you know, the last show there is over at like midnight or something, but the Freedom Fiends go on from 1 to 3 East Coast. So the last one there, they were like doing shows till dawn, like auxiliary shows. But usually 4 or 5 people pass out or fall asleep, and we put Fiends buttons on them. It's kind of the kind version of like what frat boys do when you pass out.
And
we take pictures. And Bipcot. Yeah, we license people Bipcot, which means we could reuse their organs if we don't share them with the government. So I think, Steve, you need to send me a picture of this transient. I will not post it, but I do want to see who interrupted our show.
Yeah, 100%. No problem. Cool. It's probably what you would expect, actually.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the picture should be posted, and there should be like a little sign. I fell asleep during the Freedom Fiends, and all I got out of it was my picture posted on the internet.
All I got out of it was Bipcot licensure.
Licensure. I like that.
I love the word licensure.
I hate licensure, but I like Bipcot licensure.
The word itself, though, licensure, is great.
Dude,
like, triumvirate. Good word.
Lou, can you recap what Bipcot is in Freedom Fiends for people just tuning in?
Yes. Bipcot. The Bipcot No Government License allows use and reuse by anybody except for government. Learn more at bipcot.org. It's kind of like Creative Commons, but Creative Commons doesn't exclude anybody at all.
Yeah.
So I generally, with Creative Commons, if you provide attribution, like a link back to the original site or something like that, and give proper credit where credit is due, then you can use it under Creative Commons. But Bipcot,
yeah, it's also kind of like open source licenses, like the GNU license and the Berkeley license, but it's technically not open source. And the Open Source Initiative went out of their way to write me and tell me that I couldn't call it open source. And, you know, I mean, I could say F you, I'll do what I want, but they don't have any legal power. They're kind of like the UN. They have like advisory power, and people have given them the power to say what is open source and what's not, because they're widely accepted. So I'm not going to say it's open source. I say we're a no government license.
Will they send international troops to make you allow government to do it?
No, all my Android devices will suddenly stop working remotely.
More Freedom Fiends after his trip to the market.
Worms!
Wormy worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Worms.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends. Trigger warning. Triggering you with liberty. So, yeah, last segment of the show. Let's do some silly news stories here. Is it real or is it The Onion? Are you familiar with the segment, Steve?
I'm quite familiar with the segment, yes.
Okay, for the listeners out there at home that have never played before and want to play the home version, take news articles and you have to figure out if it's real or if it's satire. And the reason for that is because the world is devolving so much that it's hard to tell the satire from the real stuff or the real stuff from the satire. First one is SWAT team in 6-hour standoff with empty house.
Real. Gotta be real.
It is real. It comes from Countercurrent News. Residents in Arlington, Texas neighborhood were shocked to see police in a 6-hour-long standoff recently. For 6 hours, police evacuated the neighborhood, warning residents of a massive SWAT standoff they were having with someone on the 4100 block of Crestover Court. There was just one problem. No one was even in the house for the entire duration of the standoff. Officers say they were called to a domestic disturbance at about 12:45 p.m. They claim that a female at the residence told police that there was a man there with a gun who had threatened her. She claimed that she managed to escape but warned the officers that the man was still inside the house all by himself. The SWAT team quickly assembled and went to the house. They warned the man repeatedly to come out of the house with his hands up, but he seemed to never heed their warnings. Oh, this is ridiculous.
So, I've never heeded a warning I was not present for. I don't know about you.
Nah, me neither. Well, that's your tax eaters at work.
You know this is going to be fuel to burn down the next person's house, right? Because last time it was, oh, we wasted all these hours. We looked like buffoons. People played, is this The Onion or is this real life? About this story, blah, 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 blah. So the next time, by God, just take a battering ram, ram through the front door, burn down the house and kill everybody inside, and then we'll call it a day. I'm sure that'll be the training video going forward, and I'll be shocked if it isn't.
Yeah, well, just remember, you can't corner the Dorner. But anyway, all right, next up, let's see. You take away guns and someone's just going to invent, manufacture, and use a high-powered knife launcher.
Okay, so I'm cheating on this one because I know somebody who thought that this was real, despite the fact that there was an Onion logo on the guy's head, so I know this is The Onion, so I recuse myself, but yeah, I'm going to say Onion. I recuse myself, yeah. But I'm the only person playing, therefore, The Onion.
Well, you're the one that actually told me about this article, so. And strangely enough, I could actually see somebody saying that.
Oh, yeah.
I could see somebody from Moms Demand Action or something like that.
Well, all these people only think about guns in the wake of a mass shooting, I found. So they say a lot of things that anybody who has the vaguest gun knowledge wouldn't say. And, yeah, high-powered knife launcher, I'm sure, probably next.
Yeah. Now, on a side note, cops have killed more people this year than probably all the mass shootings in the past 10 years combined. But that's none of my business.
At least they didn't use any guns. Oh, wait.
Right. Okay. Hillary adopts new goth look to appeal to youth.
Okay. So, by look, do they mean style?
Dyed black hair, looks like a black corset and some torn pantyhose for sleeves.
So you're seeing Hillary. Okay, so that leads.
There's a picture of it.
If there's a picture of it, then it's got to be The Onion. because if it was Hillary develops more goth outlook, then it would be like, all right, well, maybe Hillary like did learn from Augustus and she's like going and drinking goat's blood now. And, you know, when you're falling in the polls, you do what you can. You drink a little goat blood.
Actually, it looks like it kind of looks like Madonna, but this comes from dandygoat.com.
Oh, it's not The Onion.
No. Nope.
Well, it's yeah. Onion-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing about is it real or is it The Onion is. The Onion is not necessarily always The Onion. Sometimes it could be something else.
The Onion's not always The Onion.
Yeah. All right, last one. Florida man stumps neighbors by covering his home in aluminum foil.
Oh, Florida gotta be true.
Yep. Well, as soon as you hear Florida man, you know it's true.
Yeah, nothing out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, so the guy is apparently an artist, and he took some adhesive spray or glue or some crap like that, and he took a bunch of Reynolds wrap and plastered all over his house, on his doorknobs, on his mailbox, everything. So
not bad.
Yep.
It might look cool. I'll go look that up.
Thank you, Florida Man.
Thanks, Florida Man.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.